Today's shiur is Le'ilui Nishmas of Yehuda Lehi ben Rav Shmuel. Today we begin the new perek. Today's shiur is Masechet Megillah Daf Chavav. We begin the new perek on Daf Chav Hei Amud Beis at the bottom of the Amud. One of the most fundamental halachas that we find often mentioned in Shas is Malam B'Kodesh V'Loi Meridin, that we only, whenever it comes to something that has Kedush in it, we always go up a level, we never go down a level. The way we learn this, the Gemara Masechet Menachos teaches us, is because the Pasuk says that the pans that the Adas Kairach used for trying to prove that they should be the leaders of Klal Yisrael, the Korach, the Adasai, they brought Ketiris, and it was not accepted. And the pasuk says, "As machtos ha'elu ha'choytem ha'elu v'nafshoysom." The pans that these people who did averus used, v'ois also some, they should be used. Rikuei pachim tzipul mizbeach. They should be used as plating for the mizbeach, to teach us that once they had a kedusha, it was taken to a higher level. And then the halacha emaridin is learned from the pasuk that says regarding the construction of the Mishkan. The pasuk says, "V'yakam Moshe sa Mishkan, v'yitain es Adonav es v'yosim es Kroshav, v'yitain es Brichav, v'yakam es Amudav." First, Moshe Rabbeinu put up the Mishkan, then the Amudim, and then, since Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that began in constructing the Mishkan, no, and he, of course, was on the highest level of Kedusha, no one else was able to participate, because having someone else participate would represent going down a level in Kedusha. And that concept that we are now establishing, the Malam B'Kodesh V'Loi Meridin, is the fundamental concept to understand the first part of our perek, about selling different items that are Kedusha, that under what circumstances and how may they be sold and may they not be sold. The Reb Tzadik in the Sefer Tzidkus HaTzadik explains how this concept of Malam B'Kodesh V'Loi Meridin, and this whole concept of what we're allowed to sell and how we're allowed to sell it, how does this belong in our Masechta, which we are now learning, Masechta Megillah. So Reb Tzadik explains that the fundamental concept that we speak about in Masechta Megillah is destruction of Amalek. And we know that Klal Yisrael were told, as the Gemara explains in Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Chof and Mebeis, that when they come to Eretz Yisrael, when Klal Yisrael enter Eretz Yisrael, they have to destroy Amalek. And after they destroy Amalek, then they could build a Beis HaMikdash. As the Pasuk says in Tehillim, V'kol kani Rishoyim Agadeya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will destroy the Rishoyim, and then to Imam the kind of tzaddik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lift up the tzaddikim. So that very much falls into the framework of Mal B'Kodesh V'Loi Meridin, and therefore the halach is, therefore we begin speaking about that concept in our Masechta. B'nei Ish Shemach Rechav Shalir. They used to, as we learned in Masechta Tainis, on that Tezvav Amin Aleph, when there was a series of fasts that were declared, of unfortunately there was no rain. And at the last set of fast days, they would take out the teva, they would take the Aron Kodesh into the town square, and they would daven in the Rechav HaShalir, and that was when they would go daven in the Rechav HaShalir. The other time we learned there in Masechta Tainis, when they davened in the Rechav HaShalir, was Mamodos. As we know, every day, a carbon tamid, carbonists that were donated by the tzibur, were brought in the Beis HaMikdash. However, the halach is that when one brings a carbon, he has to be there as his carbon is being offered. So the carbon tzibur, which is brought by all of Klal Yisrael, it really ought to be that all of Klal Yisrael should be there as the carbon is being brought, something that's obviously impossible. And because of that, there were mamodos. But as we learned in Masechta Tanis, the mamodos were divided into two groups. There were individuals who lived in Yerushalayim, and the people who lived in Yerushalayim, they brought their mamodos by being in the Beis Hamikdash, representing Klal Yisrael as these korbanos were brought. And then there were mamodos in every town, people every week, a different group in different towns. And those and the people in mamodos were daven and laying from the Sefer Torah, and that too was done in the Rechav HaShaliyah. So says the Mishnah, B'nai Ir Shemachru Rechav HaShaliyah. The people of the city want to sell the Rechava, and as we just explained, we only could go upwards, we cannot go downwards. So Loichem B'damah Beis HaKnesset, the money that's received can only be used to buy a Beis HaKnesset. So the Rishonim debate, our Mishnah uses the words B'nai Ir Shemachru, which seems to indicate that this is only a B'di'evit situation. That B'di'evit, if we sell the Rechav HaShaliyah, what can we do with the proceeds? What we can do with the proceeds is buy Beis HaKnesses. But is that true? So the Rashba says that even though the Mishnah uses the words Shemachru, it doesn't mean a B'di'evit. If you're going to sell it and use the proceeds for a higher level of Kedusha, then it's Mutar L'Chatchila. The only reason the Mishnah used this wording is because in certain cases, it's only allowed to be done B'di'evit. The Mishnah Berurah says that the reason the Mishnah uses the Lashon B'di'evit is to teach us that even if it was sold improperly, the money retains the higher level Kedusha. Beis Yosef disagrees, and Beis Yosef says that you should never l'chatchila try change something from its level of kedusha if it can be avoided. But as we're going to be discussing in our shiurim, there was a concept of Zayin Tuvei Ir. Zayin Tuvei Ir are the committee, the board of directors of the city, and the halacha is that if something was sold but it's Zayin Tuvei Ir by the board of directors of the town, the Mamar Anshei Ir, with the consent of the town, that means the people of the town gave them the authorization to sell, the halachas that we speak about in our Mishnah do not apply. Our Mishnah only speaks about when something was sold by the committee without the town's permission, or by the people in the town without the involvement of the committee. But if it was done, the Zayin Tuvei Ir, the Mamad Anshei Ir, it had both of those conditions met, then the halacha is that it could be sold for any purpose. And as we will learn in the Gemara, the reason is because they have the authorization to do so. Continues the Mishnah, Beis HaKnesses, if a Beis HaKnesses is sold, Loichem Teva. What we could do with that money is buy a teva. The teva, according to most Rishonim, means the Aron HaKodesh in which the Sefer Torah is kept. Teva, if the Aron HaKodesh is sold, loichem mitpachos. You could buy with it the different containers in which the Sefer Torah is kept. There are those that say the definition of teva is not the Aron HaKodesh, but teva is what we call the bima, where they read from the Sefer Torah. Mitpachos, if they sell the mitpachos, yichus sfarim. You could buy nevi'im and ksuvim with that money. That's how Rashi explains. Why not chamashim? Chamashim in those times were written in a roll, so they were written the same way as nevi'im and ksuvim. So if asked the Turi Evan, why is our Mishnah singling out nevi'im and ksuvim? Chamashim are the same. So, says the Chasam Sofer, the halacha is that chumashim are even on a higher level than nevi'im and ksuvim. And what the Mishnah is teaching us is that we could use the money to buy nevi'im and ksuvim, and we don't need to use the money specifically only for chumashim. Aval, svarim, loichem tyre. And if they sold svarim, the only thing that you could buy with them is a sefer tyre. Aval machot tyre. If they're selling a Sefer Torah, lo yichu svarim. We can't use the proceeds to buy svarim. Svarim, we can never go down. Svarim, lo yichu mitpachos. Mitpachos, lo yichu teva. Teva, lo yichu beis haknesses. Beis haknesses, We're not allowed to take the money down. The Rishonim have here an interesting debate. What is the halacha if we're not selling it to go down in value, but we're selling it for something equal in value? Some Rishonim, the Rabbein Ephraim, says that the only way we're allowed to sell it if it represents Milan B'Kodesh, if it represents that we're going up, but if we're not going up, equal is not good enough. But the Rabbeinu Yoina disagrees, and the Rabbeinu Yoina says that one equal is also fine. The Meiri opinion is that Meiri's opinion is the L'chatchila, one should not sell it for something equal in value, equal in Kedusha, but the Yevet it's acceptable. The Chayim B'Mesreyim. That means if you sold any of the objects that I mentioned in the Mishnah, and some of the proceeds that you received, you got equal, you used for something in a higher level Kedusha, that isn't good enough. All of the money may be used, may only be used for something in high Kedusha. As the Sfasemis explains, that since I used a good portion of money, even most of the money, for something that's on a higher level, the halacha should be that maybe if I have some leftover money, it's impossible to be exact. I should be able to use the leftover even for something of a lower kedusha. Teaches us our Mishnah that the halacha, a ma'am b'kodesh v'loy meridin, is so serious that we can never lower the kedusha under any circumstances. Says the Gemara we learned in the Mishnah, b'nei ir shemachru rechava shalir. Amar Rabba Babakana Amar Rabbi Yochanan Zu Divir Rabbi Yehuda Unachem Beyasi Yisus Masal. What we learned in our Mishnah is represents the opinion of Unachem Beyasi Yisus Masal that holds that the Rechoiva has Kedusha, and since it has Kedusha, the halacha of selling Dvarim Shabbat Kedusha apply. Our Chama, the opinion of the Chama is Ha Rechoiva Ein Bam Shem Kedusha, and the Rechoiva doesn't have any Kedusha in it, and it can be used, the proceeds can be used for any purpose. Ask the Gemara, Rav Nachman Yosi Matama, why does he hold that Rechava Shalir has Kedusha? Answers the Gemara, as we learned when we spoke in the Mishnah, Hoyel, Ba'amis Ba'am Ba'batanias, they used to daven there by the Tanesim, or by Mamadis, and the Mamadis would be there, and that's enough of a reason to say that the Rechava Shalir, according to Rav Nachman Yehuda, has Kedusha. Rabbanan, so isn't Rav Nachman's point a very strong point? Says, how did Rabbanan disagree? Says the Gemara, Rabbanan, Hahu Akroi Ba'alma. Rabbanan holds that this Kedusha does not represent that something that's done on a regular basis. The Tanesim, or Mamadis, happened very infrequently, and since they happened so infrequently, it doesn't have the ability to infuse those areas with Kedusha. Says the Gemara, Basic Knesses, if you sell a Basic Knesses, Loich and Teva, you could buy, as we learned, most Rishonim explain, that means you could buy an Aron Kodesh. Amar Rav Shmu ben Achmenu Amar Rav Yonason, Loich Shanu Dus Halacha, that so is the din, that you could sell the Basic Knesses for that purpose, El a Basic Knesses Shal Kfarim. It's a Basic Knesses in a village. And the Basic Knesses in the village was used by the people who lived in that village. Av a Basic Knesses Shal Krochim, the Basic Knesses that are in the cities, Kivin the Alma Osle, many people come from all over. Lemotzim is Abelay. Such a basic Knesses may never be sold. Why? The Avelay, the Rabbim. It's called a basic Knesses, the Rabbim. And a basic Knesses, the Rabbim, may not be sold. And Tosfos gives us two explanations. What does this mean? Tosfos says that since when the shul was built, it was built that people from all over who come to visit the city daven there. So that gives a higher level kedusha to that basic Knesses. And since it gives it a higher level of kedusha to the basic Knesses, the halacha is that such a level of kedusha cannot expire and be sold. Another explanation Tosfos gives is that the shul was built with the donations of people who visit the city. So it wasn't just the people of the city that could participate, could agree to sell it. They weren't the only ones that were involved in building it. People from all over visit the city. People from all over participated in the building of the shul, and therefore they are the ones that have the right to make the determination, what they also have to be consulted, and we can't consult with them and therefore can't sell it. So the Rashba asks the question. The Rashba discusses, we said that the halacha is that if a shul is sold b'zayin tuveir with the committee, b'maimon anshiir, then the halachas of the Mishnah are different. What will be the halacha, asked the Rashba, when a shul that is a shul of the krochim, the shul of the cities, but it's being sold by zayin tuveir, b'maimon anshiir? May it be sold that way or not? So the Rashba says it really depends on the two pshatim that the Mishnah gave. Meaning, if we'll say that the reason is that Tosfos just gave, if the reason is because people from outside of the city participated, and since they participated, we can't sell without their consent, so then the Zayin Tuveir B'Maimon Anshiir would not change it. But if the reason is because it has a higher level of Kedusha, so if you have the Zayin Tuveir B'Maimon Anshiir, maybe even though it's a high level of Kedusha, it may be sold under those circumstances. The Turei Evin discusses what is going to be the halacha, the Rechava Shalir. So we just said that according to Rav Menachem, who is the Tan of our Mishnah, the Rechava Shalir has Kedusha as well. So what will be the halacha, Rechava Shalir, of a city, not just of a village? Will the same concept that we just learned apply and it cannot be sold because it belongs to a city? Or since it's only Rechava, it's not the actual Beis HaKnesses, we could be more lenient. So the Turei Evin says that even if it's a Rechava of a city, not just the Rechava of a village, but since it's a Rechava, which the Gemara just said, according to Rabbanon, doesn't really even have Kedusha, even, so therefore the halacha is, even if it belongs to a city, the halacha is maybe sold. There's a very interesting psak from Rav Moshe Zatzal, in Digras Moshe. Rav Moshe takes the approach that even though we're being so serious about not being allowed to sell a shul, particularly the shul of a city, he says that, and Rashba says it may not even be sellable, Zayin Tuveir, B'Maimon Anshiir, says it could be that if it's being sold, Zayin Tuveir, B'Maimon Anshiir, for mikvah, so the mikveh, which brings taras and mishpacha to Klal Yisrael, is a very, very important use, and maybe it could be sold under those purposes, under such circumstances. Says the Gemara, Amar Ravashi, Hai Beit Knishta, the Maaseh Mechasya, the Shul and Maaseh Mechasya, where Rav Ashi was the Rosh Yeshiva, Afagav, the Alma Maaseh, the people come from all over to that city, and therefore it should be considered like the city, the shul of a city that our Gemara just finished teaching us, we may not sell. Said Rav Ashi, Kivan Dadata Didikasi, they all come, everything is done because of me. Therefore, if I want to sell it, I may sell it. And as the Taz explains, that since everything, all the money was given to that he should make the decision what to do with the money, even though it wasn't explicitly said when that money was donated, still he may sell it if he sees fit. Meisvei asked the Gemara, Am Rabbi Yehuda, Mas b'mnei Beis HaKnesses shel Tursayim, they had a shul where the coppersmiths were daven. Shai Bushlaim, I saw some explain that why did the coppersmiths have their own shul? Because working with copper could cause an odor. And therefore, the people who worked in the same profession had the same daven in the shul, and other people, and that odor doesn't bother them because they all worked with that, with copper all the time. Another pshat that I saw is that people who had the same profession would all daven in the same shul. The reason is because typically people who are in the same profession don't always get along so well. And we want to be extremely careful. There should be no talking, idle talking in the shul. So if the people that you daven with are people who are your competitors, you're not likely to schmooze with them by davening. Amar Rav Yehuda, Ma'aseh b'Beis HaKnesses shel Tursayim, Shari Yerushalayim, Shemachu l'Rebbeleza, Vasma Katrochev. They sold that shul, and he used the shul for whatever he needed to. But ask the Gemara, the shul was in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is certainly a city. Ha'hasam the Krochim havu. So we just learned that a shul of a Krochim may not be sold. Answers the Gemara, Ha'hu, even though that shul was in Yerushalayim, Hahu Beik Nishta Zuti Hava. It was a small shul. Then Avdu, and they made it only for themselves. So even though the actual shul was in a city, but since many people did not daven there, and also not the people who, as going back to what we spoke from Tosfos, the only people who contributed for the building of that shul were the people who davened in the shul. So the halacha of a shul in a city doesn't apply. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, the Torah when it speaks about nigei batim, if there's nega in somebody's home, the Torah says ki suvoy al eretz kanan. We learn achuzaschem, something that was given as Yerusha, metamim in the goyim, hilchas in the goyim apply there, ve'ein Yerushalayim metamim in the goyim. Yerushalayim, since it doesn't belong to the Shvatim, belongs to all of Klal Yisrael, it's not considered an achuzah, and hilchas nigei batim don't apply. Amar Yehuda. Yehuda says, "Ani lo shemati ela makam bengish bavad." I heard that this halacha only applies to the Beis Hamikdash, and the reason he says it does applies to the Beis Hamikdash, because the Beis Hamikdash is not anyone's private house, and therefore Yehuda is saying that the Beis Hamikdash, this halacha applies nowhere else. Ask the Gemara. The Batei Knesset and the Batei Midrashos in Yerushalayim, metamim, they would become tamei. But the question is, the krochim. We're saying that something that belongs to the krochim is not anybody's property. If it's not anybody's property, it's not an achuzah. If it's not an achuzah, hilchas nigei batim should not apply. Ema answers the Gemara. What Yehuda meant to say was, ani lo shemati ela makom mekudesh bavad. Everywhere, it doesn't mean, he wasn't speaking about the Beis HaMikdash, he was speaking about all of Eretz Yisrael, all of Yerushalayim, and all the Batei Knesiyos in Yerushalayim are considered krochim, and that's why they don't become tamei with Tumas Megoyim, and also, as we're learning in our shir, under normal circumstances, the halachas, they may not be sold. So we have here a machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda, if the halacha of nigei batim apply in Yerushalayim. Ask the Gemara of Maikum, if Rabbi Yehuda says it does, Rabbi Tanakama says it does not. Ask the Gemara of Maikum, what is the basis of the machlokes? Says the Gemara of Tanakama, Sova, lo neschlaka Yerushalayim l'shvatim. Yerushalayim was not divided to any shevet, and therefore it's not considered an achuzah. And Rabbi Yehuda holds, neschalka Yerushalayim l'shvatim. Yerushalayim was divided, and therefore, let's consider it an achuza. And the Brisker Rav explains that the way to understand this machlokes is really that two psukim that seem to contradict each other. The pasuk says, "Kiyem al makom shiyivcha Hashem al keichem, mikol shifteichem l'shak l'sak mikosh l'glosam eshmoy shom." The pasuk is speaking about the Beis Hamikdash, and the pasuk says that it's built in a place which belongs mikol shifteichem. On the other hand, the pasuk says the belongs to all the shvatim, not any one shevet. On the other hand, says the Brisker Rav, the pasuk says kiyem b'mokom hashivcha Hashem be'echad shifteicha, that the Beis Hamikdash was built in a place that belongs to one shevet. So at first glance, so the Sifri asked this question, this contradiction. Answered the Sifri, one teretz is that the money for building the Beis HaMikdash was collected from all of the Shvatim, but the actual real estate on which the Beis HaMikdash was built belonged to only one Shevet. Another pshat that he says, that the Sifri says, Achat Shvatecha doesn't refer to the Beis HaMikdash. It refers to Mishkan Shiloh. Mishkan Shiloh was built in Chelik of Yosef, but the Beis HaMikdash was not built in the area that belongs to one Shevet. Says the Brisker Rav, the two terutzim that the Sifri just offered represent the machlokes of Yehuda and the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda says, like the first teretz, Rabbi Yehuda says that the Beis HaMikdash was divided amongst all the Shvatim, and therefore there's no Tumas Nagam there. The Rabbanan, on the other hand, hold that it was built on the Chelek of Binyamin, just the donations came from all of Klal Yisrael. So ask the Chazon Ish, but when they chose the place for Beis HaMikdash, how did they know which place it's going to be built on? So he says that originally it belonged to everyone, and afterwards it was given to Shevet Binyamin. Says the Gemara, but plukta dani tanoi. And this machloikis, if Yerushalayim was given to Shvatim or not, is actually a different, it was a machloikis tanoim. The Tanya, the Brisa says, what part of the Harabayis was built in the portion of Yehuda? The Harabayis, for Lishkois, there were certain chambers on the Harabayis. For Azoris, we know there were a number of Azoris in the Harabayis. The Gemara Bechelkish of Binyamin, and what portion of the Beis HaMikdash was in Binyamin's territory? Ulam, that the corridor at the entrance to the Heichel and the Beis Kotche Kotchen. There was a portion jutting out from Yehuda's territory. Entering the portion of Binyamin, Obama's Beich Boni, and in that place was where the Beis Beich was built. And Binyamin HaTzadik was very upset that he did not have the schus that all of the Mizbeach should be built on his territory. He was uncomfortable the entire day. He was uneasy because he did not have the schus to have the entire Mizbeach on his territory. And therefore says the Gemara, Binyamin had the schus that the Oren was built in his area. So here we're learning the way the Beis HaMikdash and all of the chambers were built. And the Meshech Chochma says the reason it was built that way is that all the Shvatim participated in the Mechiras of in the selling of Yosef HaTzadik. And that, as we've discussed previously, that Aveira of the selling of Yosef HaTzadik, we suffer from that Aveira until this very day. And therefore, because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want, Ein Kategen Nasas HaNeger, that the Beis HaMikdash should be built on the portion of any Shevet who participated in the selling of Yosef. But as we know, Binyamin did not participate. And that's why the Beis HaMikdash was built in Binyamin's Chelek. Tosfos points out that even though the Gemara says that Binyamin was a set, that the Mizbech wasn't on his portion, it's only the Keren Dromus Mizrachis, the southeast corner, where there was no foundation, was in Yehuda's property territory. The rest was in his property. And what the Pasuk means to say, says Rashi, is Binyamin saw in Ruach HaKodesh that would be the case. And since he saw Baruch HaKodesh that would be the case, he was very upset. The next Tana holds. So this clearly, the first Tana that we just learned, clearly is of the opinion that Yushlaim Leskak L'Shvatim, Shevet Yehuda, Shevet Binyamin. But says the Gemara, Haitana, Savalein Leskak Yushlaim L'Shvatim, that this, the Yushlaim was not divided to Shvatim. The Tanya, the Loch is, we know that all of Klal Yisrael will come to Yerushalayim three times a year to be Oyla Regal. The halacha is, Eimaskir and Batim Yerushalayim, we're not allowed to rent homes in Yerushalayim to the people of Oyla Regal. The people who lived in Yerushalayim, the halacha is, don't belong to them. And even though they lived there, it wasn't their property, and the halacha is therefore can't be rented out. You can't rent something you don't own. But Rashi explains that that's only, it seems from Rashi explains, that that's only when they're being oil or regal. Any other time, of course, it may be done. So a person is going to say, I can't rent out the home, but I have beds in my home, and those beds belong to me. And the halacha is, you can't even do so. But still, the people who lived in Yerushalayim had to invite these guests in. According to Blazer, they got absolutely no payment for it. Lefikach, the halach is Oiris Kotchim. As people came to Yerushalayim to be Oil Regal, they would bring many kabonis. And we know the hides of the Kotchim Kalim go to the owners. the hides were given to the Baal Mizbechim, to their host, Neutlensoy, and if the guest did not give it voluntarily, they gave it, they were taken bezroya, they were taken by force. So we see that this Tana holds that Yerushalayim was not divided by amongst the Shvatim. Amar Abaya, Shema Mina, Eirich Ara. From here we learn that it's proper derech eretz for a guest, L'mishbek inish gulfa v'mashcha b'shiza. He should leave some, his kelim, he should leave something over by the people who hosted him. We learned in the Mishnah about selling different parts, different varm shabagdusha. But as we pointed out when we learned the Mishnah, Amar Rava, all these halakas only apply El Shalei Machru Shiva Tuvei Ir B'Mamon and She'ir, that if the committee did not sell it with the consent of the city, Avul Machru Shiva Tuvei Ir B'Mamon and She'ir, if it was done by the committee with the consent of the townspeople, Afilu L'Mishtabe Shikra, it could be sold to, even to drink beer, Shapadami, it has to be sold. The halacha is, says the Rashba, that even though the Gemara keeps on speaking about Zayin Tuvei Ir, says the Rashba, the halacha is it doesn't have to have seven. Whatever number of people, the people in the town decided that they would be considered the committee, that they would be considered the board of directors, that's what counts. Says the Bir Halacha, he says that even though you don't have to have unanimous vote, that all the members of the committee should agree. But the Bi Halacha says that when you're going to have this kind of situation, you have to have all the members of the committee there for the vote. After you have all of the members of the committee there taking a vote, we follow the majority. That and the majority rules. Ravina says the Gemara Havalei Hahu Til Bei Kanishta. He had in his property the property had on it a place that was once a base of Knesset. Asla kamei de Ravashi. He came to Ravashi with the following question. Amalei, ma'al mizri. What's the halacha? May I plant something there? Amalei zil zabnei. Go buy this property. Meshiva tove ir mamanan shir. And as we learn, once you have that permission, then you could do, zari, you could do whatever you want. Because when it's sold, on that on those conditions, it loses the Kedusha. And the Rosh makes the point. We're speaking here in our Mishnah Gemara about something that belongs to the city. Says the Rosh, what would be the halacha if something belongs to an individual? So when something belongs to me, the individual, I, the individual, are no different than the committee of the town. And since I'm no different than the committee of the town, whatever the halacha would be, b'zayin tuvei'ir, b'mamon and she'ir, would be the halacha with me as well. Rami Bar Abba, have a kabbani bei knishta. Rami Bar Abba was building a shul, have a knishta atika. There was in that town an old shul. Have a boiler, Mr. A. He wanted to demolish the old shul. Ulusuya livnik shurimna, to take the bricks and the beams from the old shul, v'yuli lahasam, and use them to build the new shul. Yosfim Kabaylai, Had Rav Chizda. This Rav Chizda taught us. Dan Rav Chizda, Loi Lister Inish Bei Knishta. A person has no right to demolish a shul Ad the Bani Bei Knishta Echrita until he builds another shul. What is the reason that Rav Chizda said that reasoning, that halacha? Is it Mishum Pshiyosai? They were concerned that you're going to demolish the old shul and then you won't build the new shul. But here, where the entire purpose of demolishing the shul is to build a new shul, so the concern that you're not going to build a new shul doesn't exist, maybe I could do so. Also, l'kamed rapapa, Surami Bar Abba asked this question to rapapa, v'amalei, and some say the question was asked to Rav Huna, v'asalei, and he said that even though the reason that we just gave isn't there, still the halacha doesn't change. The halacha is you're not allowed to destroy a shul until the new shul is built. And the reason is, even where there's no concern for Shia, the halacha is we can't leave the city without a shul. And if we're going to break down the shul until we demolish the old shul before we have the new shul, then we're going to be left without a shul. However, the Gemara Masechta Bava Basra says that if we see that the old shul is in disrepair and it may collapse, then we're allowed to demolish it and build a new shul, the concern that we just discussed. And the Shulchan Aruch indeed paskins. The Shulchan Aruch in Simen Kuf Nun Bei Sif Aleph says, Ain't Soyser Beis HaKnesses, we're not allowed to demolish a shul today, Livnois Beis HaKnesses Acher, in order to use the funds to build another shul. Shema Yerim Oynes, something may happen, Shlo Yivno Acher, and then we won't end up building a new shul. And therefore, says the Shulchan Aruch, El Boinem Achet Chilo, first we build a new shul, and then only then, Vachkach, Soyser Ma'acher. So now, we said the concern is Mishum Pshiwosai, and the concern is because we don't want to leave the shul without another shul. So what would be the halacha that we're building another shul, so we know that we're going to take the parts of the old shul and put them in the new shul, and we live in a town where there's more than one shul. So the new concern that we learned in our Gemara, that we don't want to leave a city without a shul, does not apply. What would be the halacha? The Magen Avraham says that even in such circumstances, we always have to be concerned that the shul, the old shul, that we may end up not building the new shul. We always have to be concerned from Pshiusar, and therefore we can't ever demolish the old shul until the new shul is rebuilt. The Taz disagrees, and the Taz says that if this town has another shul, so we're building the new shul, so we're going to take these items from the old shul and put them in the new shul, and the concern that we don't want to leave the town without a shul doesn't exist because we're in a town that already Baruch Hashem has another shul, we could be lenient. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava Haibei Kanishta, this shul, Chiluf of a Zibuna, to exchange it and sell it is permitted. A Gura Mishkona, but to put it up for rental or to put it up as a security for loan, Osir, my Tama, because since he didn't sell it, when you're selling it, so then it loses the Kedusha. Again, I have to repeat, it's only in a case where you're selling it with the halacha allows it to be sold. But if you're not selling it, it retains its Kedusha. And since it retains its Kedusha, then you're not allowed to sell it. So ask the Ritva that throughout halacha, we have a concept of Schiris Kamecher, that when you rent something, it's like selling it. So why is Al Gemara saying that if you're renting it, it's not permissible? He says a shul is different. A shul, the issue is not how does the halacha look at a rental? Does the halacha look at a rental as a sale? Or does the halacha look at a rental as something else? Here, the concern is that it has kedusha in it. And if it's not completely sold, it retains that kedusha. And since it retains that kedusha, it may not be sold that way. Says the Gemara, Livnei Nami, even the bricks of a shul, chalufu v'zivninu shari, to exchange them or to sell them is permitted, zivninu, to lend them is osur. But says the Gemara, hani mili batikta. That's only in bricks that were already used in the shul. Aval b'chadita, when they're new bricks, they were never used for the shul, less laba. The Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin discusses if somebody sets aside an object for use that it's asur b'hanoa, but it wasn't yet used for that purpose. In other words, let's say somebody sets aside a garment which should be tachrichim for a mace. We know that the tachrichim of a mace may not have a hanoa, but they were never used for that purpose. May you have a hanoa from it or not? And the concept that the Gemara there explains is the machloikis of hazmana milsehi. If we just set it aside for that purpose, does the halacha give that credence? Abaye's opinion is that hazmana milsehi, and Rava's opinion is that hazmana lav milsehi. Says the Gemara, v'afilu l'mandama hazmana milsehi, and therefore by setting aside bricks, that should give the bricks the kedusha. Says the Gemara, kani milki gan oyrig beg l'meis, where you prepare tachrichim for mace. So as soon as you have the tachrichim ready, they can be used for a mace. And therefore, since they can be used for a mace, Abaye says they are osur b'hanoa. of a hocha ketavil origami. Let's say you prepared a yarn and the thread to make tachrichim. Even Abayi will agree that that yarn and those threads don't yet have the din of tachrichim and the mutabano, and if everybody will agree, the bricks that were set aside to build a shul, but they weren't yet used in the shul, don't have the kedusha of a shul. Says the Mara, matana. What about giving a shul as a gift? Pligba Ravach of Ravina. Chad Osir once says that if you got it as a gift, it still retains its kedusha. Chad Shari. Manda Osir b'maytivka kedusha asar. The kedusha has to be transferred, and if you're not selling it, it doesn't have where to be transferred. Manda Shari, and the one that says that it's mutter explains e lav the have a hanomine. If not for the fact that I had hanof from that person, you don't give gifts without a reason. So if you're giving this person a gift, it must be that they got something from that person. I would never have given them the gift. And therefore, havelay matana, kuzvini, the halacha treats them equally, and just like you could sell it, you could also give it as a gift. Tanabaran, tashmishe mitzvah. Something that was used for a mitzvah, nizrokim, may be thrown out after the mitzvah, after they're no longer needed for the mitzvah. However, tashmisha kedusha, something which has kedusha in it, may never be discarded, nignozim. And the Brisa gives us examples. Veilen tashmisha mitzvah, sukkah, lulav, shofar, tzitzis, all these things, after they're no longer usable, may be discarded. Veilen tashmisha kedusha, the lukmi, svarim, tefillin, mezuzos, the cases, the bag, the sacks in which they put the svarim, what we would call a tefillin bag, a talis bag, tikshal sefer Torah, v'nar tikshal tefillin, v'ritzusayim. The halacha is that you're allowed to discard the tashmishei mitzvah, but there are many rishonim that say that if you have leftover oil from Chanukah, you shouldn't use it. You shouldn't discard. You can't use it for something with a davar shel chol. So the question is that the Rambam explains why. The reason is because lo sasu kei l'Hashem alekeichem, and the Magen Avraham says because of that he suggests that these objects that were just identified by our Gemara as tashmishei kedusha, the halacha is one can't even sell them because they have this kedusha in them. I saw a very interesting shaila. What's the halacha with a kittel? A kittel that we wear, Pesach by the Seder, Yom Kippur by Damening, and their children that want to use that kittel on Purim for the Purim's costumes. May you or not? So he says that, so the Chashuki Chemet says that a kittel is considered a tashmishe mitzvah. It's not considered tashmishe kedusha, and therefore he says it may be used for that purpose. Amar Rava, Mereish Havamina, Haika Suya, this bima that they put the Sefer Torah on, Tashmish to Tashmishu, because they didn't put the Sefer Torah directly on the bima, they would put a cover on the bima and put the Sefer Torah on that, Vishari. And I said that it's not considered a Tashmish Kedusha. However, said Rava, Kivin the Chazina, the Moist Vilei Sefer Torah, ultimately I saw that people would put Sefer Torah on it. Amina, I said, Tashmish Kedusha Hu, it's a Tashmish Kedusha for Osir, and therefore it has, as we're learning in our Shia now, Tashmish Kedusha has a very high level Kedusha, and therefore it says a high level Kedusha can't be used. So the question is that I saw the Paiskum discuss, we know in many shuls, they stack Sforim on the bima, even though the bima is used for reading the Sefer Torah. So the question is, how could that be done? So Trumas Hadeshin already discusses that, and Trumas Hadeshin says that when they established the bima and they set aside the bima and they set aside the cover that they're going to have on the top of the bima, they made a tanai that you could also put Sforim. And any Tashmish the Kedusha, if when you set it aside, that was the condition you made, then you could use it under those circumstances. But I saw that the Chazon Ish and the Stipler, because of this question that it's very common that in shul, svarim are stacked on the bima, and the bima and the cover of the bima are used for Sefer Torah. So how can we put other svarim on it? What they would do is, besides that they had a cover on the bima all the time, they put a cover on top of the cover. That cover that they put on top of the cover, they would use only when they leaned. And they would take it away when they didn't lean. And therefore, since that cover that they have all the time is not used for the Sefer Torah exclusively, that's why you could put Sfarim on it. Vamarova, Mereish Havamina, High Parisa, this cover, this curtain, which most Rishonim say is the curtain that they used to have inside the Aron Kodesh. Tashmish, the Tashmishu, it's used for the Aron Kodesh, and the Aron Kodesh is used for the Sefer Torah, so it's considered a Tashmish and Tashmish. But then he said, Kivin, the Chazina, the Eifelei, that sometimes they would take this curtain, or Manchis Sifralei, they would put the Sefer Torah directly in the curtain, so therefore, Amina Tashmish, the Kedushahu, it has the status of a Tashmish Kedusha, and since it has the status of a Tashmish Kedusha, Osir, one may not discard it. And Tosfos says that we're not talking about the Aron, the Prichus that are in the Aron, but Tosfos says we're speaking about the Prichus that are on top of the Aron. So, as the Mishnah Brewer says, according to Tosfos, that they used to put the Sefer Torah, to wrap the Sefer Torah on it. The Ramah, Paskins, Proichus Shanachnu Toilam Fnei Aron, the Proichus that would hang up in front of the Aron, Ela Kedushas Aron, does not have the status of the Aron, Ra Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, it only has the status of the Kedusha Beis HaKnesses. And as the Prisha explains, he says that the only reason you put up the Proichus is because the pasuk on the Aron HaKodesh, because the pasuk says, "V'evdila proichus lochem bein haKodesh bein haKodesh haGedoshim," and therefore it's only there for the glory of the Sefer Torah, and since it's only there for the glory, therefore it doesn't have the status of a Tashmish Kedusha. Ramosha and the Shail's Chuvis, Igros Moshe Aruchaim Chelik Dalid Simon Mevov, discusses if you have in a shul a proichus with words on it, or a picture on it, that the way you open it is that the two sides of the proichus open up, and then they, when you open them, they separate, and when you close them, they come together. And by putting together, you're putting together letters or a picture. And the question is, may you do that on Shabbos? So Ramosha says, L'chatchila, one shouldn't do it, but b'di'evit, it may be done. The Magen Avraham, this is very similar to the Trumas Hadeshin that we spoke about a moment ago, says that there was a minig, the Magen Avraham is in Simen Kuf Nun Dalid, Sif Katan Gimel, the Magen Avraham says there was a minig that they used to use the proichus that they had in front of the Aron Kodesh for a chuppah. And the question is that we know that it's not until now it was being used for Aron. How can I use it now for a chuppah, which is just two regular individuals getting married? So the Magen Avraham, as we quoted the Trumas Hadeshin a moment ago, says that since Lei Bez de Masna, when they put up the proichus, they designated that it should be used for that purpose. So since they originally designated that it should be allowed to be used for that purpose, therefore the halacha is that it may be done. An interesting question that the Cheshukei Chemet discusses. We're discussing the proichus around the Aron Kodesh, and what is the status of the proichus that are on the Aron Kodesh? But the Aron Kodesh itself, as we already learned when we learned the Mishnah, when we spoke about the Teva, certainly is considered a Tashmish, the Kedusha. So the question is, could somebody put, there's a concern, Chas V'Shalom, that the Sefer Torah may get stolen. And the question that he discusses, that may one put a camera into the Aron Kodesh to protect, to make sure and to be a deterrent from anybody stealing. So he says, certainly anything which is done for Kavod HaTorah, and certainly preventing a Sefer Torah from being stolen, is a very serious example of Kavod HaTorah. It may be done, and you could put such a camera up in the Aron HaKodesh. Vama Rova. Hai tevusa the irpat. You have the Aron Kodesh started to get fall apart. Ma'av the tevus utrasi. So we take that big Aron and make out of it a small Aron. Kursaya. But it's still being used for an Aron. Kursaya. But to use it for a bima is also. Vama Rova. High priest of the Bola. The proiches. They're starting to get ruined. Lamevet priest of the Sefri to make it for the cover of a Sefer Torah Shari. The Chumshin that don't have that high level Osir. Vamar Rava, high Zvila the Chumshin. These things that they put the Chumnoshim in, the Kamti the Sefri, or the boxes where they keep Sforim, Tashmishi Kedushin Nenu, they're considered Tashmishi Kedushin Venignosim. Pshita asked them, of course, we have the Chumashim and the Sforim in it. That they're just to protect what's inside, and therefore they shouldn't have the din of Tashmishi Kedusha, Kamashmalan. Hahu Beknesh the Yehuda Ramoy, the basic Knesset of the Jews of Rome. Davib Sikh Lahua Drona, that was open to another room, Davimach Beimes, that very often there were Niftarim left in that room. The boy Kahana Lamel at Sluya Hassan. A Kahanim wanted to be able to enter that room. To daven there. Osvar Amalei LeRava. How can we enter the shul? Because it's open to room where there are neftarim. Amalei Zil Tavusa Asfuo. Take the oren and put it by the opening. It should block the opening. Davle Klei Eitz Osla Nachas. Because it's a vessel that's made out of wood. And Aloch is Klei Eitz Osla Nachas. If it's meant to remain stationary, ain't a makabel tumah, it's not makabel tumah, and furthermore, the choitz b'fnei tumah, it prevents tumah from spreading. Amalei Rabbanan Vok, Simna Metatalei Kamanach Sefer Torah Alei. There are times that the Aron HaKadosh is moved, Halei Metatalei Molei Meraikon, and therefore it's not considered something that's meant to be kept stationary. And since it's not meant to be used as something that's always stationary, it can't be a mechitza before tumah. So he said, if that's the case, if that's indeed the case in this place, I don't have any good advice for you. The coverings of the Sforim that get ruined, we should make them into Tachrichim for mace that nobody is there to take care of him. That's the way to properly bury them. Sevatar Shabbal, the Sevatar Chas V'Shalom is no longer usable. Goins and Soy Eitz Talmud Chacham. It should be buried next to a Talmud Chacham. And says the Gemara, Vafil Shana Alochis. It doesn't have to be a world class Talmud Chacham. Somebody who had a basic understanding of Mishnayis and Brisis is good enough. Amr Vach by Yaakov, Bekli Cheres. But they should be put in an earthenware keli. Shenemar, the Nasatim Bekli Cheres. Laman Yamdu Yamin Rabim. They should be put in a klicheris that they should not get any more ruined quickly. And we put it, therefore, in a klicheris, it's going to remain and not get more ruined.